Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age." Let's pray. Dear God, we thank you for your word, and even for the words that we've read before and are so familiar. I pray that even through your Holy Spirit, you would teach us. Lord, work in our hearts, we pray. Even be with the words that I speak, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So even of these words that Jesus spoke these words at the end of his life, we all know how he was born as a little wee baby, and how when he was about 30, he started his ministry. And then we all know how he died on the cross. Then on the third day, he rose again. And then now, this risen Jesus is talking to his disciples just before he goes back up to heaven. And these are the words that he tells his disciples. So even of these words, we'll particularly focus on the middle ones there. Go and make disciples of all nations. But what does it mean to make disciples? Well, the best way to find this out is to look at the Bible and see how Jesus did it. Look at how Jesus made disciples. And so we'll just turn to Matthew chapter 4. This is one passage which talks about Jesus calling his disciples. So if you look at Matthew chapter 4 and verse 18, it says, "As Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen." So where were they? They were beside a big lake, the Lake Galilee. And there's these two men, Simon Peter and his brother Andrew. And they were fishing. And they were to do this fishing, had a big net, and they threw it into the lake, and that's how they were catching fish. But Jesus says to them these radical words in verse 19, "Come, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Or, "I will send you out to fish for people." And what did they do? What was their response? At once, they left their nets and they followed him. So following Jesus for the disciples meant giving up something. I mean, that net for them represented their livelihood. They were willing to leave behind their net. They were willing to give up their jobs to follow Jesus. And that's what one thing we find about discipleship. So disciple means to follow, or to follow, in this case it's to follow Jesus. And for these disciples to follow Jesus, it meant giving up something. And that's one thing we find about following Jesus or being a disciple, is that it's costly. And in China, it's a one thing that new Christians are told, look, if you want to follow Jesus, it's going to cost you something. It's going to be hard at times, because they will face persecution at some point for believing in Jesus and following him. And but for you, are you willing to give up something? Are you willing to follow Jesus? Are you willing for Jesus to change your heart and for your life to be changed? Well, I became a Christian when I was about 9 years old. I can't remember the exact day, but I do remember a prayer that I prayed. It was after a service a bit like this, a Sunday morning service where I'd heard a sermon, and I prayed, "Here am I, Lord. I am willing to go wherever you want me to go." And that describes what it means to be a disciple, what it means to follow Jesus. Are you willing to go wherever God wants you to go, wherever Jesus wants you to go? Where is he calling you to go? What is he calling you to do? It could be just to talk to your neighbor, or to talk to your schoolmate or your work colleague. Or it could be to go even to another country. Where is God calling you to go? What is he calling you to do? Well, for 3 years, these 12 men left everything they had and followed Jesus. Yes, Jesus called 12 men in particular to be his disciples, to follow him. And for these 3 years, they were watching Jesus, learning from him, listening to Jesus, learning from him. In those 3 years, they spent a lot of time with Jesus. And Jesus spent a lot of time with them. Another passage that describes Jesus calling two more of his disciples is John, in John chapter 1. Now, John chapter 1 talks about John the Baptist. John the Baptist in the desert was proclaiming, "The king is coming. The special king is coming. I've got great news for him. I've got great news for you. The king is coming. So get ready. Repent. The king is coming." And some people had come to find out more about it. And they'd been, so even John the Baptist had disciples who were finding more about what John the Baptist had to say. And then one day, Jesus comes to where John the Baptist had been preaching and baptizing people. And when John the Baptist saw Jesus, he said, "Hey, this is him. This is what I've been, the guy I've been talking to you about. He's the special king." John the Baptist said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." And as soon as John the Baptist did that, two of his disciples who had been following John immediately started following Jesus. And Jesus kind of turns around and goes, "So what are you guys doing? Why are you following me?" And they go, "Oh, we want to know where you're staying." And so this is what this verse here, it says, Jesus says, "Come and you will see." And so they went and saw where he was staying, and they spent that day with him. It was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. Now, I know when I've read this passage in the past, I thought, why do we need to know all these details? But just reading it again, I just was impressed. Those words, they spent that day with him. This was the first day that these two disciples were Jesus' disciples. That first day, they spent a lot of time with Jesus. And for that rest of that 3 years, it was quite similar. They spent a lot of time with Jesus. I mean, they would have been seeing even the power that Jesus displayed in his miracles. They would have heard his amazing teaching. But even afterwards, they got to go around to his house or where he was staying, and just hang out, just chill out, and even just eat with Jesus and just ask Jesus questions. They were able to see what Jesus was doing. Even when Jesus woke up early and went to pray, they all knew what Jesus was doing. So they spent a lot of time with Jesus. But why? Why is this so important to be a disciple? Why is spending time so important to be a disciple? Well, I can think of four reasons. And the first reason is that the most important thing about being a disciple is having a relationship. And so the most important thing about being a disciple of Jesus was having a relationship with Jesus. So everyone who believes in Jesus, you are called to believe in him and make him your Lord and Savior, but you are also called to follow him and be his disciple. And so in order to be a disciple of Jesus, you need to have a relationship with him. You need to spend time with him. You need to spend time reading his word. You need to spend time talking with him in prayer. You need to spend time listening to him. Just times of quiet meditation, just listening to what he wants you to do. If you are a disciple of Jesus, a follower of Jesus, this command is also for you. Go and make disciples of all nations. So when you make disciples, you need to remember relationships is the key. Relationship is essential. So it includes getting alongside others, living life with them, spending time with them. I mean, even just think about how Jesus spent his time on earth. I mean, the problem these days is a lot of churches are very business-minded. They have very business strategies. We think, how can we get the most people? How do we get the most people in the world to hear about God? How do we get the numbers? How do we get the most ministries? But how did Jesus act when he was on earth? He spent a lot of time with 12 men. This wasn't very efficient. He could have spent a lot of time with a lot more people, spent his time, but God, instead Jesus invested his time, if you excuse the business analogy, he invested his time in these 12 men. And in particular, there were three men where he spent a lot of time with. And one of the reasons Jesus did this, I mean, he is God, so he could have done things a lot differently, but he was also doing it to show us how to do things. We can't make disciples of the whole world, but we can make disciples of the few people that God brings into our life, the three special people, or even the 12 people that we can spend time with and build relationships with. So the second reason for spending time was that Jesus was teaching them the importance of being a family. So that, I mean, their relationship with Jesus was the most important thing, but their relationship with other Christians was also very important. Their relationship with the other disciples was also very important. I mean, these disciples actually had the advantage that they were from a family-based culture. I mean, unfortunately, in some of our Western mindsets, it's all about me and it's all about how I can have success in my career. But if you just take the time to observe some of the family-based cultures around you, whether it's in China or it's in the Polynesian or Maori cultures, you see that they do things together. And Jesus was saying to the disciples, hey, this group of people, these disciples, this is your new family. These are the people that you need to spend time with, that you need to look out for, that you need to love and care for. This is the family. Like, it's interesting, even I saw some photos of like Bethsaida, where about three of the disciples came from. And you look at these buildings, and they're not very big. There's tiny little broken down ruins of houses, of little stones that are left. And whole families grew up in these houses. They had their own bedroom, and they had their own fence around their property. Now, these villages were very small, and they all were clumped together. So that family really knew each other, and that village really knew each other. So Jesus is saying to these disciples, hey, this group of people, that's your village. that's your family. Now, the third reason for spending time with them was that Jesus needed to model to them what to do. Jesus made disciples by modeling to them, like showing them something, not Simon says, or and then I do something so that you can do something, so that you can copy. And Jesus showed them how to live life. He showed them how to love. He showed them how to be humble, how to serve. Like that amazing example on the night before he was betrayed. Those disciples were all sitting down at the table. And in that culture, Jesus as a teacher was the honored one. He was the most revered one. And so he didn't have to do anything. And so when Jesus picks up that bucket and starts washing their feet, that would have been a real shock in that culture. It's like, what? You're the teacher, you're the honored one, why are you washing the feet? But Jesus was showing them, he was modeling to them what was true love. He was modeling to them what it means to be humble and what it means to truly love and look out for each other. I mean, there's so many other ways that Jesus modeled what to do for his disciples. Even how to pray, waking up early and spending time with the Father. I mean, if Jesus needed to spend time in prayer with his Father, how much more do we need to spend time praying to our Father, our Heavenly Father? So Jesus was also modeling to his disciples so that later those disciples would also be able to model to someone else. As we said before, Jesus said to his disciples, go into all the world and make disciples. So there's this idea that with this group of disciples here, with this modeling, that this modeling would continue from disciple to disciple. It's a bit like a duck, a mother duck and her little wee ducklings. So the mother duck's at the front. She's walking along, showing them where to go. And then behind them is the next duckling. He's looking along. Oh, yeah? Is that how you do it? Along. And then the one behind them, later on, even when Jesus went up to heaven, the next disciple is able to follow the person in front of him. And so on, and so on. So it's a modeling to a disciple who models to another disciple who models to another disciple. So we need to think, what are we modeling? Are we really disciples that we want someone to copy? Do we want people to be like us? I mean, we need to certainly follow how Jesus lives, follow and love like Jesus loved. And we just pray that even our example, our modeling, might be a way that we can teach others, not just by what we say, but what we do. So they were impacted just by seeing Jesus live life, even before he said anything. And it was something that we were really humbled by in China. Even my wife was sharing to me last week how one of the ladies that had come to this musicize, one of the ladies that had come quite often to our house to learn how to bake, and also Joanne was learning how to cook some spicy Yunnan food from her. This lady said to Joanne, "I really love spending time with you. It's like there's a light around you." It's like, wow. Like, sometimes we think, you know, it's the words that are the most important thing. Only I haven't used that opportunity well. I haven't even said what I could have said then. But what's so amazing is that even before we say anything, God is able to use us. God is able to, even from the light of Jesus shining upon our lives, people can even see Jesus' light in our lives. And it's just so humbling, because it's not something we can notice all our faults, but God still uses us to shine Jesus' light to others. And the final reason Jesus spent time with his disciples was to model to them what to say. So one of the ways that they could do this was by telling their own story. So every one of these disciples was impacted by Jesus. They could all describe what their life was like before Jesus came into their life. They were all able to describe how Jesus came into their life. Like some of them, when I said, "Yeah, we were just near the lake, this guy came up to us and said, 'Follow me.'" That was the story of Simon Peter and Andrew. But what about you? How is it that Jesus came into your life? How is it that you started to be impacted by Jesus? That's part of your story. And that's what we can share to others, to be able to even make others disciples of Jesus, as they can hear about not only how the Bible says people were impacted by Jesus, but to actually see a real example and to hear a real testimony from you about telling your own story. Another way that Jesus taught them of what to say was that the things that Jesus was teaching them was changing the whole way that they understood the Bible. So, I mean, they would have gone to the equivalent of Sunday school. They would have heard from their fathers about the Abraham, about the creation of the world. But now, as spending time with Jesus and hearing Jesus' teaching, now their whole view of the Bible has been changed. So as they tell about from creation to Christ, they're able to really share God's story and how God has come into the world to save this world, to rescue this world. This is one way of telling the creation to Christ story. And this one's been particularly adapted to honor shame type culture. So as we tell this story, make sure you're not just using Christian words, but be thinking about the people that we're telling it to. Even just think about the people that are in that you might have opportunity to tell this story to. Maybe even think about five people that might be a bit interested in talking a bit more about Christianity and have something ready prepared that you can tell them about creation to Christ. So, especially the Chinese culture is a very honor-shame culture, but there's in New Zealand there's other honor-shame cultures around, such as even the Māori and the Polynesian cultures are very honor-shame type cultures. So it's just important to think about what language would be helpful to connect to those people. I mean, another way of thinking is also the power-fear type culture. And so you could even use words like that to describe how that curse that God put on the world and just show the real power that God does have. So I'll just read this one to you, God's story, creation to Christ. And this particular one was also we did with children, as like in kids' church. And my wife came up with some actions. So unfortunately, I can't remember the actions. So you have to talk to her afterwards about the actions. But we just read through them and just think about how you would share God's story, just to challenge you. In the beginning, God created a perfect world. I mean, you can think of your own actions. people disobeyed God and brought shame to God. God removed people from his family to protect his honor. Jesus was God's only son and always honored God. Jesus came to rescue us from shame and bring us back into God's family? Yeah. Jesus died a shameful death on a cross. God accepted the shameful death of Jesus. The death of Jesus returned God's honor and took away our shame. God raised Jesus to life. God gave Jesus the seat of honor. Because Jesus died to remove all your shame, Jesus invites you to become part of God's family. Would you like to join his family? With faith, ask Jesus to remove your shame. With faith, ask God to be your father. And I guess one of the amazing things we found was when we took the steps to even prepare something like this, even just prepare maybe a couple of sentences of this. even when Joanne first translated the first two sentences of this particular one into Chinese, the next day, a taxi driver came and asked her about what does paradise mean. And she was able to use what she had translated about God creating a perfect world. And so it's just amazing that as we consider making disciples, it's not really about us at all. I mean, God is a powerful God, and he is the one that makes disciples. But what's so humbling is that he even uses us. And that when we even take the time to pray, even for praying for five people in your life that you might even have opportunity to talk to, God answers that prayer. It's just incredible. I mean, I shouldn't be surprised that God answers prayer. But we were just saw time and time again in China how we were able to pray. We even had a little group that we were doing this with, a bit like the Connect group maybe, that we were able to share about the people, those five people that we really had a heart for. And we were praying about these people together. And then the next week, we would meet up again. And so many times, God had answered those prayers. And it was just an amazing way that God was able to... He even chose to use us to be making disciples with others. And even in making that... Even for us, speaking Chinese is difficult. So even we had to like really plan and prepare, or for me at least, to know what to say, how to tell my own story, or how to tell God's story in Chinese language. And yet again and again, God opened those opportunities and was able to use those opportunities to tell God's story. So ask God to show you five people this week, and pray for those five people. Five people who are open to hear more about God. Five people that you can build a relationship. Even five people that you can show Jesus' love to, even just by living life with. That you can even share your story with, or share God's story with. That by God's grace, that they might become disciples. And not only do they become disciples, that they become disciple makers, as you can model to them, and they can then model to someone else, so that this whole community can be impacted, so that this whole country can be impacted, so that this whole world can be impacted by Jesus' disciples, by those who are following Jesus. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are just humbled by how this command is also for you, for us. This command about making disciples is also for us to be part of this disciple making. And we pray that you would firstly help us to be Jesus' disciple, that you would help us to spend that time with you, Lord Jesus, to spend time reading your word and to pray with you. And we pray that you help us too as we model to others in our lives, even for those five people that we're praying for, that you would be radically working in their lives, helping us to model and to share using words what you have done in our lives, and just describe your story to them. Lord, please, by your grace, help us even this week. And we pray for even this church, that you would be even using the connect groups, and even as others meet together, that you would be making disciples that make disciples that make disciples, that you would make an impact in this place. In Jesus' name, amen.